Thank you for joining us here at the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for January 29th, 2019, and today we're looking at Joshua chapter 5 and 6, beginning in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. In the ESV translation, there's a heading here that is pretty helpful. The heading says, "The commander of the Lord's army leads the campaign." When Joshua was at Jericho, he looked up and saw a man was standing right there in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went to him and said, "Are you one of us or one of our enemies?" The man said, "Neither. I have now come as the commander of the army of the Lord." Joshua fell with his face to the ground and worshipped. Then he said, "What does the Lord have to say to his servant?" The commander of the army of the Lord said to Joshua, "Take your sandals off your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy." So Joshua did so. Chapter 6. Jericho was shut up tight because of the Israelites. There was no one going in and no one coming out. So the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho and its king into your hands, even though they are strong warriors. You shall march around the city with all the fighting men, circle the city one time. Do this for 6 days. 7 priests shall carry 7 special ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, with the priest blowing the ram's horns. When there is a loud blast on the special ram's horn of Jubilee, when you hear the sound of the ram's horn, all the people shall shout with a loud war cry. Then the wall of the city will collapse on itself, and the people will go up into the city, one man after another." So Joshua, son of Nun, called for the priests and said to them, "Lift up the Ark of the Covenant, and 7 priests shall carry 7 special ram's horns in front of the Ark of the Lord." Then he said to the people, "Move out, march around the city. The armed contingent shall march in front of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had given orders to the people, the 7 priests with the 7 special ram's horns moved forward in front of the Lord, blowing the ram's horns continuously with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord following them. The armed contingent was marching ahead of the priests, who were blowing the ram's horns, and the rear guard was following the Ark. The priests kept blowing the ram's horns as they went. But to the people, Joshua had given the order, "Do not shout, and do not let your voice be heard. Do not let a word go out from your mouth until the day I say to you, 'Shout!' Then you shall shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord go around the city, sending it out to circle the city 1 time. Then they came back to the camp and spent the night there. Then Joshua got up early in the morning, and the priests lifted up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests with the 7 special ram's horns moved forward in front of the Ark of the Lord, blowing the ram's horns continuously. The armed contingent was marching in front of them, and the rear guard was following behind the Ark of the Lord. The priests kept blowing the ram's horns as they went. They marched around the city 1 time on the 2nd day, and then they returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. Then on the 7th day they got up early, at daybreak, and they marched around the city 7 times, following the directions that they had been given. It was only on the 7th day that they marched around the city 7 times. Then on the 7th time the priest blew the ram's horns, and Joshua said to the people, "Shout, because the Lord has given you the city. The city will be devoted to destruction. The city and everything in it will be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute will live, she along with all who are in her house, because she hid the agents whom we sent. But you must keep away from the things devoted to destruction, or you will make yourselves a subject to destruction by taking some of the devoted things, and you will make the camp of Israel subject to disaster and bring destruction upon it. But all the silver and gold and all the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord. They must go into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted, and the priests blew the ram's horns. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted with a loud war cry. Then the wall collapsed on itself, and the people went up into the city, one man after another, so they captured the city. Then they applied the decree of destruction by the edge of the sword to everything that was in the city, both men and women, young and old, and also the oxen, sheep, and donkeys. To the 2 men who had spied on the land, Joshua said, "Go to the house of the prostitute and bring out the woman and everyone who belongs to her, just as you swore to her." So the young men who had acted as spies went out and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and everyone who belonged to her. They brought out all her family members, and they settled them outside the camp of Israel. But the city and everything in it they burned with fire. Only the silver and gold and the bronze and iron vessels were placed into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Joshua spared the lives of Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and everyone who belonged to her. And she has lived within Israel to this day because she hid the agents that Joshua sent to spy on Jericho. At that time Joshua swore an oath, "Cursed before the Lord is the man who sets out to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn he will lay its foundation, and at the cost of his youngest he will set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread through the whole land. This is the word of our God. Two takeaways. First of all is kind of the context and the intervening history that we didn't get when we skipped from chapter 1 all the way ahead to the end of chapter 5. Joshua had sent out a couple of spies and to spy out the land and to especially to spy out Jericho after they crossed over the Jordan River and they encamped in the land. And Jericho is this, as far as we can tell, it's definitely in the running for the oldest walled city in the history of archaeology, at least from what we can find. It's a very ancient city. And so they get into the land, and the way that that would work was this walled city would be able to control the surrounding area. It's very similar to the Greek city-state kind of setup that is going on at about the same time, where you have a walled city that can command the area, and it's also, you know, very similar to the castles of the medieval age, where the castle would be able to control the surrounding area, and then when an army attacked, the people from the surrounding area would be able to flee to the castle. So that's what's going on here, and Joshua knows that if he needs to, and if he wants to take over the land, which is what God has said for him to do, then the first thing he has to do is he can't just bypass Jericho. He has to conquer this place. And so he sent out these two spies, and they got into the city, and they hid out at Rahab's house, which, you know, is very clever because as a prostitute, or, you know, the more gentle translation, which is incorrect, I think, is that she was an innkeeper. Well, there's a little bit more than just providing somebody a place to sleep, if you know what I mean. So Rahab hid these people, but the words that Rahab says, this is like, you know, 45 years after they left the land of Egypt. And when she speaks to these spies, she had said to them that the fear of the Lord has fallen on the entire area. And when she says the fear of the Lord, in your English Bible, in your paper Bible, that word Lord is all in capital letters. That's God's personal divine name for himself. And it's the name that God had specifically revealed to Moses at the burning bush, you know, roughly 50 years earlier. And so the fame of God had spread over this entire area. And that name, Lord, all capital letters, in Hebrew, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, those are four letters, and translated into English or transliterated into English, I suppose, as Yehovah or Jehovah or Yahweh. That's God's personal name as the God of free and faithful grace, as this covenant God. So when Rahab says, the fear of the Lord has fallen on you, and then she goes, or fallen on us, and then she goes ahead and hides these men, she's demonstrating, first of all, that she knows who the true God is, and then second of all, when she hides them, she demonstrates that she's a believer in this true God. And that's an important point, because you have to have that order in mind when Rahab is mentioned in the New Testament, especially in the book of James. I think she's in Hebrews chapter 11, maybe not. I'd have to look that up, sorry about that. But she's definitely in the line of the Savior. That's the other place that she's mentioned, especially in Matthew 1. Rahab the prostitute, and how often she's mentioned, even in the rest of this chapter, Rahab the prostitute. So thanks be to God that he uses these examples of people who had their lives turned around by the one true God, who brought them to faith so that they acted in such a way that demonstrated that faith. And that God used Rahab, this outsider, this foreigner, this former prostitute, as one of the ancestors of Jesus the Christ. So that's our first takeaway. The second takeaway is, you know, maybe God uses uses physics a little bit here, but the primary thing is that Joshua isn't just coming up with this plan on his own. And the appearance of that man that we had at the end of chapter 3, verse 13, where we had begun, the appearance of this man who is the pre-incarnate Christ, Jesus, before he takes on flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the appearance of Jesus there when he says, "Take off your sandals, this is holy ground," that shows, that demonstrates that no matter what happens, no matter how, whatever natural events God may or may not have used, this is a supernatural occurrence that God fights for his people. And you know what? God still fights for his people today. We don't have a command of God to march or to blow trumpets or to take over a city or a territory. We do have a command from God to speak about him, to speak of his love for us. And God still fights for his people today. Paul reminds us in the end of Ephesians chapter 6, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world. Dear friends, it's like God has brought us out of the slavery into sin. He's made you his own through the waters of holy baptism. And now he says, dear friend, you have the word of God. And God wants to extend his kingdom. That's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." We want God's kingdom, God's Christ ruling activity, to extend to us and others. See, God still fights for his people. There are people in your life, people that you know, that God wants to bring to faith, that God wants to bring into the fold of his church. And so our lesson, the same God who taught and told his people to march around the city, the same God who told his people that he would fight for them, is the same God who still fights for his people today, who still builds a church today. And so, like in our sermon from Sunday, give Jesus a chance to build his church. Speak of this Jesus and ask your friend, do you know the love of Jesus? Do you have a pastor who knows your name? And if you do, or if you don't, if they do or if they don't, check out the show notes. Click that yearbook.wells.net if you're not in the Ohio area, or give me a call. Shoot me a text, Pastor Hagen. And hopefully together, we can see how our Lord still fights for his people. God bless your day.